Doc Talk is brought to you by Merck Animal Health. At Merck Animal Health, we're shaping the future of animal health with pioneering science, connected technology, and insights-driven solutions to bring our customers an unparalleled portfolio of choices to improve cattle care and operational efficiency. We support you and your legacy by helping you meet the challenges of today with the innovations of tomorrow.
Hey folks, welcome to Doc Talk. I'm Dr. Dan Thompson. I'm glad you joined us today. We're going to talk about pen management and cattle comfort. And whether we're talking about heat stress or cold stress, management of that pen floor is vital to our cattle's health and well-being. I'm glad you joined us and stay tuned. We'll be right back. Hey folks, welcome to Doc Talk. I'm Dr. Dan Thompson and I'm glad you joined us. I'm a veterinarian and also a nutritionist, and I spend a lot of time working with producers from cow-calf to feedlot to packer to retail, all along the beef supply chain, working with my group at Production Animal Consultation. A majority of our practice area is Iowa, Nebraska, and Kansas. I'm also affiliated as an emeritus professor at Iowa State, and really thankful to be able to do what I do, and thankful that you watch the show. When we talk about confined cattle and we start to think about pen management, our head always jumps to wintertime pen management and mud and haul manure out of the pen. And what we're trying to think about also is that we have issues in the summer, we have issues in the winter. And while we tend to think about foot rot only occurring in the winter when we have mud and issues to that nature, we can also have some man-made issues when we put up too little shade and all the cattle hunker underneath there during a heat stress event and they urinate and defecate and they create a bog. They can have just as bad of pen conditions underneath that shade if it's not traveling with the sun and drying out as we do in the winter. And so always managing that pen floor, looking for wet spots, looking for ways to groom it and manage it is important. Now, we tend to think about pen floor management and infectious foot issues like foot rot and hairy heel wart. But when we start to think about some of the things that cause animals to get sick in general, it's either an overwhelming dose of a pathogen that they haven't been exposed to or a suppressed immune system. So while we ask feedlot managers the number one risk factors for foot rot and hairy heel wart, they'll say pen floor management, weather conditions, and being able to manage the moisture or the mud in those pens. The same goes for cold stress and heat stress and its impact on the immune system. If we have any kind of stress, we're going to suppress the immune system. So when we have an immediate impact of a storm or immediate impact of abnormal pen conditions on hoof issues, we'll have a delayed impact on things such as bovine respiratory disease. Because if we suppress the immune system and those animals are passing viruses and bacteria, it gives the bacteria or virus a chance to infect that animal and become pathogenic, when typically under good pen conditions or cattle comfort, it wouldn't. So we'll see an uptake in bovine respiratory disease. We never really think either about the interactions we can see with the digestive system during heat stress events. Heat stress events, when cattle get hot, one of the things they do to cool their body is to pant. And that's a shallow breathing, okay? It's not a deep breathing. As cattle stay on feed and you see a continual drop in rumen pH, or we see an increase in acid load due to the constant exposure to soluble carbohydrate, we'll also see a decrease in blood pH. Well, to raise the blood pH, they have to ventilate or breathe deep. So here we go. We get into a heat stress event with long day cattle that have a decrease in pH in the rumen, which then lowers the blood pH. For the pH of the blood, they're trying to ventilate and breathe deep. But to cool their body during the heat stress event, they're wanting to pant and breathe shallow. And so they're danged if they do and danged if they don't. And we get caught into some of these things that attribute to some of our late day death loss. So it all starts with cattle comfort, heat stress, cold stress, and we're going to talk about both today on the show. And I'm glad you joined us.
DNA Dialogue is brought to you by Igenity Feeder, powered by Neogen.
really, we feed cattle and feedlots because we're feeding them high energy diets and we're fattening them. And so we're obviously get other benefits from that, such as taste, tenderness, juiciness of the end product. But what it really comes down to is how much fat can we put on those? And we're not doing it to put on fat on the outside. It's really about the marbling inside the meat itself. But it's difficult to know marbling when the cattle are live. You don't know that until after they're marketed. So what are packers interested in? They're interested in obviously the weight and the amount of pounds that they can also produce in their line. They're interested in red meat yield, which obviously in our grid systems is a premium and discount based on yield grades. 1 and 2 is a premium. Yield grade 4 and 5 is generally a discount. And obviously, if you're not familiar, those yield grade 1 and 2 are more red meat yield. Yield grades 4 and 5 are obviously fatter relative to red meat yield. So there's a premium discount on yield grade. And then, of course, there's a premium discount on quality grade. Quality grades are usually discussed as a choice select spread, but that's really low choice compared to select. And there's premiums as you go to upper two-thirds choice, CAB, which would be black-hided and upper two-thirds choice, and then an even larger premium for prime. So what are packers interested in? Weight, yield, and obviously the most marbled beef that they can market, because they get a premium for those end products as well.
Are you a cattle feeder looking to manage for a stronger and more profitable set of cattle? Look no further than Igenity Feeder. Igenity Feeder utilizes DNA to gain insight into your cattle's genomic potential. With the information to predict performance, quality, and economic endpoints for cattle feeders. Animals are scored and ranked in a simple format, driving more precise and accurate management decisions. Igenity Feeder gives you the power to predict days on feed, manage variability within lots, characterize carcass performance, and focus on metrics important to you and your operation. With the data provided, you will identify superior animals earlier and maintain high operational efficiency. Maximize your profit and optimize performance with Igenity Feeder.
Hey folks, welcome back to Doc Talk. I'm Dr. Dan Thompson. I'm glad you joined us today. We're talking about cattle comfort, pen floor management, heat stress, and cold stress. And we'll jump into heat stress first. And when we think about heat stress, the way that heat stress or the thermal heat index is measured, which cattle have a thermal neutral zone that they like to stay in. And if you get below the thermal neutral zone or above it, either way, cattle increase the energy expended because they're trying to either heat or cool their body. And as we drop below or above, it will have changes in intake patterns, which then couples our ability to reach maintenance requirement or raise our maintenance requirement of these cattle, which decreases feed efficiency and can lead to some health issues. The way we measure the thermal heat index is to look at basically four patterns. The first one's a combination. We call it black globe temperature. And the black globe temperature is a combination of UV light and radiation and ambient temperature, or the temperature outside. Another component, thermal heat index, is humidity. And the last one is wind. So as those three, as the black globe temperature goes up, as we have exposure to UV radiation or exposure to increased environmental temperature, the thermal heat index rises. As humidity increases, the thermal heat index rises. As wind speed increases, thermal heat index decreases. Wind is good, humidity and increased temperatures are bad. And that's how we gauge that. So what do cattle do when they start to experience heat stress? The first thing they're gonna do is stand up. And the reason why cattle stand up is because the temperature of the ground is much hotter than what's in the air. If we have a 97 degree day as the ambient temperature, that dirt will be 120, 130 degrees. And so cattle, the first thing that happens is that ground gets hot, and so they'll stand up because they're uncomfortable. So if you see cattle earlier in the day standing when they'd normally be lying, they're experiencing heat stress. The next thing they start to do is they start to have a little bit of saliva as they have heat stress, and then they'll start to increase respiratory rates and then they'll start to pant or have open mouth breathing. So as we increase, the cattle are going to stand up, they're going to increase their respiration rate because they're starting to pant or puff. They'll have a little bit of saliva, and then when we have open mouth breathing, those cattle are in some stress or into being heat stressed, and that's important to recognize. Now, if you want to predict heat stress or look at heat stress events in your area, you can go to the USDA Meat Animal Research Center, where they have a website that shows you the current thermal heat index for your area and cattle comfort, and it will show you what they're predicting to come in the next week or 10 days. And so USDA Meat Animal Research Center, you can see the website here that you can go to, and you can find heat stress in your area, your part of the United States, and it's important to understand, because when we reach these areas of increased thermal heat index, the first thing we should do is cease and desist moving cattle. We should not work cattle. We should not be preg checking. We should not be processing, re-implanting, and things of that nature as we can avoid. As we come back, we'll talk about some more things with heat stress intervention and mitigation. You're watching Doc Talk, and we're glad you joined us. Hey folks, welcome back to Doc Talk. I'm Dr. Dan Thompson. I'm glad you joined us. I'm a veterinarian with Production Animal Consultation and one of the owners here at Farming Unlimited, where we're very happy to be able to provide this information and this show for you on a weekly basis. We're talking about heat stress, cold stress, pen conditions, pen management, and cattle management, okay? So as we get into heat stress event and we have increase in the thermal heat index, we want to not stress cattle. So we already talked about we're going to cease and desist during these times and these periods of the day of working cattle, okay? The next thing we need to do is make sure we have adequate water supply. And if you see cattle huddled around the water tank and cattle not being able to get to the water or bunch, don't be afraid to take a silver water tank and put out there and increase your water tank space the good old fashioned way by putting a big tank out there and filling it full of water. Now, you get a tank that's too big, that water can get extremely hot during the day. And so not getting a tank that's too big, but not one that's too small to increase linear water tank space and water availability. We also wanna remember wind is good. So we wanna cut down any weeds. We wanna move windbreaks in the summertime. We don't wanna impede air. Another thing that we do in these pens is we'll build mounds. And we always typically think of mounds as being something that cattle get on to stay dry when we have rain events or mud events. But I can tell you during the summer, mounds are essential for catching a breeze. And the cattle will get up on the mounds and they'll face into the wind and they'll catch that breeze. Remember in the winter, cows will put their butt into the wind, and in the summer they put their face. And so getting mounds so they can get up over the pens, they can get up over the other cattle and catch a breeze is really good. And the last one that we employ with newly received calves is we'll bed them. Bedding, whether it's straw or corn stalks, we need about 40 square foot of bedding per head, or so they can all lay down. But insulation off that ground. Remember I told you that the dirt is extremely hot compared to the ambient temperature. When we put 6 inches of bedding down for those newly received calves, we'll actually decrease the temperature on where they're laying down by 25 degrees. So if you have newly received calves, you want to help them lay down, rest, get hydrated, get ready so those vaccines at processing work. Putting down some bedding is something we do. The other one obviously is shade and misters and sprinklers. Shade, cattle need 20 square foot of shade per head. We wanna make sure that we structure that shade so that it moves with the sunshine. So as the sun comes up and it moves, the shade will move and the cattle will move with the shade. And therefore you don't have a bog or you don't have an area where we're getting too much urine and too much mud accumulation underneath that shade. So those are just some of the things with heat stress that we see. Now, we'll talk a little bit about cold stress, because when we get into the winter, we'll see issues of snowfall, rainfall, depending on where you're at. And depending on how your pens are set up, if they're flat, you know, I heard a cattle feeder say, you know, when we get an inch of rain in July, we'll be dry in a day. When we get an inch of rain in December, we're not gonna be dry until April. And so understanding that and understanding there's the immediate shock and stress of a cold stress event, but there's also some delayed issues. And when we come back, we'll talk about the delayed issues and some of the things you can do to prevent your pens. You're watching Doc Talk, and we're glad you joined us. Hey folks, welcome back to Doc Talk. I'm Dr. Dan Thompson, and today we're talking about heat stress and cold stress in cattle. We got into the cold stress, and you know, the first thing to prep is we need to haul manure out before the winter issues hit, because if we can haul manure out, that just gives less material to mix with the water or the snow to have issues. When the event hits, pushing snow in the pen to places where it can release and melt and not cause issues is important, but also having the equipment to squeegee and move water within the pens. We just want to get into a point in time when we have that immediate cold stress event, give those cattle a place to lay down, okay, and rest. So we have the immediate issues. We also then have the secondary issues to a cold stress event or to a mud event or snow or rain or moisture, which is foot rot and infectious issues in the hooves. Secondary, we'll have delayed responses in bovine respiratory disease. We'll also have a decrease in intakes of cattle, just hard for them to get to the bunk. And then the last one is when we have mud and extended periods of mud, is those animals get exhausted and they get down, and we have to be on alert to look for cattle within the pens that are down, help them get up, help them move, help them in any way that we need possible. Now, how do we prevent or how do we prepare for this? And I already talked about hauling manure out of the pens before the winter weather hits. Other things we can do is build mounds. We build mounds in the pens, they help with the heat stress, but they also are the area that dry the first because we have slope on those mounds and it gives all the cattle a place to lay down. Stocking densities is imperative to monitor. We want to have decreased stocking densities in the winter so that we make sure all the animals fit on the mound, so that we decrease the wear and tear on the pen, and it gives the pen a better chance to dry out. Just a 10 to 20% decrease in stocking densities, you'd be amazed at looking at pens side by side in the wintertime. Another thing we use and employ a lot is windbreaks. It's very, very important. It's easy. Sometimes we use our corn stalk bales and that to provide the windbreaks. And so we're using our windbreaks as the winter goes away, and they're gone then in the summer, and then we stack them back up in the fall. And then the last one is bedding. This year, I've become more and more of a believer in bedding, getting a bale buster. To provide a bed pack within the pen for the winter is imperative. And you'll hear a lot of people talk about 40 square foot per head of a bed pack. My goal is that all cattle can lay down in the bed pack and have a dry place. People ask all the time, how much should I put out? And really it's dependent on the weather and dependent on the number of cattle in the pen. A nutritionist I work with, Dr. Eric Lowe, says if you lean down and you put your knee on that bed pack and it gets wet, you need to add more. And so putting one bale out or putting two bales out is not enough. But looking at the performance increases and improvements and the health improvements, our yards that use bed packs and that supply bedding did not have the issues that the ones that don't. And so preparing, having the bale busters, having the corn stalks or the whatever it is material you're going to use for bedding in a local area is vital. It's expensive, but it's really expensive to not do it with the loss in production and the potential cold stress and subsequent health and well-being issues, okay? Another place, two things on cold stress and heat stress. Hospital pen management is imperative. Don't overcrowd those areas. Make sure that we're providing shade to sick cattle, that we're cleaning those pens. That's our intensive care unit. And the last one is our people. When the cattle are going through mud stress or heat stress, so are our people, and so are our horses. And so management of this is a very big safety issue for our people, and it's something that we work on day to day. I hope you found this information good. It's something that we have a passion for at PAC, and we're continuing to look at new ways and different ways to provide cattle comfort. Thanks for watching the show today. Remember, if you want to find us on the web, you can find us at www.doctalktv.com. Always work with your local veterinarian. Utilize your extension personnel in the state. And thanks for watching. I'm Dr. Dan Thompson, and I'll see you down the road.
At Merck Animal Health, we're shaping the future of animal health with pioneering science, connected technology, and insights-driven solutions to bring our customers an unparalleled portfolio of choices to improve cattle care and operational efficiency. We support you and your legacy by helping you meet the challenges of today with the innovations of tomorrow.